The Mac Observer's Mac Geek Gab number 62 for July 26, 2006. Greetings, folks, and welcome to the Mac Observer's Mac Geek Gab. I'm Dave Hamilton. I'm here with John Braun. Hi, John.
I'm on vacation.
Oh, you and your vacations. I tell you what, man. So I just flew back from Chicago today, which is the reason the show is not on Monday this week.
Were you on vacation?
No, I wasn't. I was working. I was at AdTech this week with Greg from Backbeat Media, and we were schmoozing and learning and all of that good stuff that you do in Chicago.
Oh,
AdTech Chicago.
I like Chicago.
It's a cool city. It's actually a very cool city. Yeah. Yeah. We had good food. We didn't really get much outside of the, what I'll call the downtown area. I may be entirely wrong about that description, but we were right near where the Navy Pier is, I guess, and sort of just in and around that area, Grand Street and that sort of thing. But had some good food and met a lot of good people and had some fun. So, and learn stuff too while we were at it. So it was worth the, you know, several thousand dollars or whatever it was to get in and out of there. However, so we almost weren't going to do a show tonight. We're almost going to let it go till next week. But there was one thing in particular that I'm so excited about. It's the reason we're doing the show. And then we've got some other thing. Yeah, it's that
really
exciting. It's that exciting.
Do I know about this?
You do. Yeah, because we talked about it a little bit last week, and and I had the opportunity to test it on the airplane. And, of course, this is, right, the power adapter that Mike Guyver created, and that's MikeGyver.com.
Sounds like MacGyver.
Well, and he should. He has every right to apply that distinction to himself. This man is a genius. And that's not to say that this is a difficult thing to do, but to actually have conceived it this way, genius. And so what this is, he sent me this power adapter for a MacBook Pro. Now, as you may or may not know, the MacBook Pro draws 85 watts of power. At least that's what its power supply requires. It doesn't necessarily use all of that all the time, but that's what the power supply requires. Also, because of the magnetic detachable connector, there are no third parties that have yet created an airline adapter for it. So enterprising folks initially figured, well, okay, I can just get, something that I can plug in to the cigarette lighter adapter on the airplane, turn that, invert the power to AC, plug in my power brick from the power, from the MacBook Pro, that ships it back to DC to the MacBook Pro, and everybody's happy. Well, that's great, except that the airlines don't provide enough power to make it through the inversion process and reversion. What would that process be called, John?
I think it cancels each other out. So
yeah, it pretty much cancels each other out, and it doesn't work. No, it's that there's not enough juice to kind of get over the inefficiencies in that whole chain there, because the airlines provide approximately 75 watts of power. So what Mike Guyver came up with is he figured, okay, well, why are we going from DC to AC to AC to DC? Therein is the problem. What if we just go DC straight in? So. And I have no idea what other people think of this thing, but I'll tell you what I think of it. Well, he took a standard MacBook Pro power adapter, because that's the only thing that you can connect to a MacBook Pro or a MacBook adapter, but he did the MacBook Pro, and he sliced the cord in half, and he put little connectors like those little round power connectors like you find on the back of every little piece of electronics, right? So he got some, off the shelf power connectors and soldered them in line so that you could then connect the cord back together and use it as a normal power adapter. What he also did was took a, and I believe it's a Radio Shack. No, maybe it's not Radio Shack, but it's effectively a Radio Shack DC power converter. And he put the same sort of connector on that. So what you can do is you can unplug the brick from the cord that goes into your MacBook Pro and plug in this cigarette lighter thing into that same cord. Now, you need to be very careful, and he figured out exactly which power adapter to use and what setting to put it on, and actually put a bunch of tape over it so that you couldn't accidentally slide this little slider that goes from 15 to 24 volts. I believe he has it set on 16 volts, and the tape sort of kind of keeps it in place. Not an entirely elegant design, of course, but it works. He had never been able to test it on an airplane before. I got it on the plane. You know, we got up to altitude. They said, yeah, you can take out your laptop. I had this killer Mahavishnu Orchestra concert from 1972. And no, you can't have a copy because I've been sworn to not distribute it. But I had this killer Mahavishnu Orchestra concert on DVD from 1972 and wanted to watch it on the plane. Now, of course, the flight to Chicago is only maybe 2.5 hours. The PowerBook certainly, or the MacBook Pro rather, certainly would have lasted through the flight. But I plugged this thing in. And the light lit up on the thing. I thought, okay, good. I plugged it into the MacBook Pro. Now, the MacBook Pro was maybe at 80% battery life. So we were going to do double duty. It was going to, you know, it had the opportunity to do double duty, to charge the battery and run the MacBook Pro at the same time. And I plugged it in, and first the light turned green, and the MacBook Pro recognized it. And then the light turned orange, and it was charging it and running it and doing everything. And the plane didn't go, you know, crashing in flames. It didn't do anything, you know, didn't suck more power than the plane wanted. I ran it that way for over an hour. It worked just great. So, again, I'm not sure how many of these Mike Guyver is making or selling, but if you want one, the one I have works. It is most certainly a screw it up and your warranty is void and, you know, caveat emptor, right? Let the buyer beware. But it for me, it worked great and I will use it again. In fact, Mike, he doesn't keep any stock of these. So when I asked him to send it to me, he said, look, man, you know, I can't send it to you without having you pay me for it because I got to go buy another adapter and all this stuff. That's fine. He says, but when you're done with it, send it back and I'll give you all your money back. I said, that's okay. He's not going to have an opportunity to give me my money back unless he actually needs some of this stuff back because I would love to keep this. So there you go. Mike Guyver, MacBook Pro, airline power adapter. Then that certainly falls into the cool stuff we've found or cool stuff you found category and wanted to. I just couldn't help but share. So... Hence the reason.
Here's what I like to try to do, but it doesn't always work, is you find the fuse box on the plane, and you just put in bigger fuses.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable.
Yeah. No, of course that won't work.
No, that wouldn't work. And not only would it not work, you would never have the opportunity to find out whether what you've done worked or not. Because if there wasn't someone in an official capacity on the plane that would stop you, all the other passengers would probably kill you.
Pound you.
They would pound you. Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, I wonder why they limited to 74. Well, I guess when they built the, you know, the components. I mean, I suppose they could just upgrade all of the electrical components in the planes to handle more power.
Yeah.
But then that costs money, and we know that airlines aren't.
They're living hand to mouth.
Necessarily rolling in dough.
Well, so. They are rolling in dough, but the problem is it's rolling out almost as fast as it's rolling in. Yeah. That's the problem. Heaven forbid they stop for a day if they're out, right?
Yeah.
Bankruptcy.
Did you hear today? It was so funny. I think it was GM today, just a little tangent. But I think they now their results were recently announced, and I think they had a $3 billion loss? And everybody was like, you know, that's pretty good.
That's a lot of money to lose track of.
But they're doing like a buyout.
No, I know. Yeah.
And stuff like that. Actually, some of their fundamentals did look pretty good, but it's like, wow. You know, I'd love to lose $3 billion if I'm told, nice job.
Yeah.
So, all right.
We'll keep this show relatively short because we're doing another show on Monday, and B, I didn't have time to really prep a full show. We have some other things that fall into the cool stuff we and you found category. And maybe an interesting question that we may get to.
And you know, if you find something you like, I think you could call us.
You can call us. At what's the number, John? I always forget.
206-666-GEEK.
Geek. That's right. All right, so before we get into the other cool stuff we found, there were a couple of things that I wanted to talk about. The first thing that was very exciting for me, and this is just a very personal thing, is I am no longer on the no-fly list. And it's not that I was actually on the no-fly list. But,
really?
Yeah, but somebody with my name was.
How'd you get off?
I have no idea. What would happen is, you know, when you can go online and print your boarding passes before you get on the plane? I couldn't do that. You know how you could go online, like go to the airport and check in at the curbside? Yeah, I couldn't do that. You know those nice little self-service kiosks?
Yeah,
you
put in your credit card, you get your tickets.
Yeah, I couldn't do that. I had
they would always
to,
say, see, agent.
And I always had to go to the first class line. So even if I wasn't traveling first class, I just would always get in the first class line. And at first they'd yell at me. If I happened to have a coach ticket, they'd say, well, you're not supposed to be here. And I'd explain what was going on. And then they'd say, oh, you're supposed to be here. And I asked this one woman one time, I said, what can I do to get off this stupid list? Because what they do is, if you're on the no-fly list, it just means that someone with the same first and last name as you is also on the list, or if you get that screening. And the next thing they do is compare birth dates. And so they ask you for your ID at the gate, and they look at your license and compare the birth date. And they used to get on the phone. Now they can do it over the computer. And they realize, nope, okay, it's, you know, the birth date's the wrong match. I'm assuming if the birth dates were a match, then there would be yet another level of screening and until they either decided yes or no. But I asked this woman, I said, you know, what can I do to avoid this? I said, can I sign up for that thing that the TSA has? And she said, well, you can sign up for it, but you still have...
the accelerated...
It was the first incarnation of the accelerated thing. I mean, in Orlando, they're actually doing a new accelerated thing where you get different lines and all that. But she said her husband was on it, and it was the same, he was having the same problem as I was. He got on the thing. And it didn't matter. He still couldn't do any of the automated stuff. He still had to go up to the gate. She said it won't make any difference. I said, okay. So,
I found that having your boarding pass with the four S's on it highlighted. Actually, last time that happened to me, because I was flying into one airport and flying out of another.
Yeah.
In the LA area, and that apparently automatically flags you as
a bad person. Yep.
And I was actually listening that day to a 2600 podcast where they were talking about this. And so when I got it, I knew exactly what it was. And it's like, duh, how obvious can you be?
Yeah.
You're putting this on my boarding pass. If I was someone with ill intent, I'd probably leave.
Yeah.
But what was cool is that I got to a certain point where one of the goons looked at it and said, oh, go on that line, which was the enhanced scan line. And I'm like, well, I got to catch my flight. I got through faster.
Oh, is that right?
It was like the express lane. I went through. I had, not a lot of stuff. He scanned my arms, my legs, looked through my bag, poked around, and he's like, okay, off you go.
Oh, that's great. Cool. That's great.
So I'd like to actually get flagged every time. Anyways.
Yeah. So, all right, so
moving on.
Yeah, no. So whatever happened, either the guy is the nefarious Dave Hamilton is either incarcerated or dead, I guess. It doesn't sound like it was a good thing that happened to this guy.
Or they cleaned up the database. I don't know.
Yeah, it could be.
Can you write somebody saying...
Nope. No, I looked into it. Everything I heard, they said no. So anyway, that was that. And then I get up to the security... We'll just, ramble on a little bit here. I get up to the security line, and I put my laptop, and I was wearing a sport jacket, and I put all that on, and I had my carry-on, and put all that on the thing, and the guy on the other end looks at me and says, you're going to want to take your shoes off. I said, oh, actually, I haven't had a problem with these shoes before. I said, I've walked through the metal detectors with them. And he says, well, you can do whatever you want, but if you walk through with those shoes, it will incur additional screening. I said, oh, no problem. So I took my shoes off and ran them through. And as I got to the other side, there were two of them standing there, and the guy that I'd had my conversation with turned to the other guy and said, yeah, I can't do it to him. And I kind of looked puzzled, and he looked at me. He says, well, I had decided to pull you in as for random screening. He said, but after that, I couldn't possibly do that to you. And I said, well, I appreciate that. And we went on our way. So,
okay. Slight deviation, and then we'll get back on track. I forget the airport. Was it? It may have been L.A. So I was about to go through, and the person... Or no, it was when we went to the podcast expo. I think it was in Ontario.
Okay.
But the lady there, the TSA lady, was like, I suggest you take your shoes off.
I'm right.
So does that mean I should take them off? Sir, I strongly suggest.
That's what she was telling you.
Well, to me, suggest means I can ignore what you're saying and not do it.
Yes.
Why don't you just say, just get it over with? I don't know if it's...
Well, they can't tell you. No, they cannot tell you you have to take your shoes off. There's something about that. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but they can't tell you you must take them off, because that makes some people uncomfortable. There's health concerns, right? If you happen to step on a tack or whatever after they told you to take your shoes off... there could be, who knows, right? I'm just speculating. I don't know. If someone does, call us at 206-666-2000. geek, just like Victor did. We'll tell him about what Victor found that was cool when he traveled.
Yeah. Hey, Dave, John, it's Victor from the Typical Mac User Podcast, and I wanted to clue you guys in on a great experience I just had while on vacation using the Kyocera Verizon EVBO card. I was able to use that guy all throughout the country, even in rural states like North Dakota, with average download speeds of around 136, but I was getting as much as burst of 600 in major cities like Denver. So I lend the car, so I don't have the model number of the Kyocera, but I'll send you guys that via email. Check it out. It's a great card for a PowerBook. I don't think they've made one yet for the MacBook Pros for the new slot in those, right, but I believe those are coming. Highly recommend using EVDO. You can surf anywhere at fast speed. I love it. All right, guys, love the show, especially 61, very informative, even the propane part. Thanks. Bye.
Excellent. That's good to hear. I'm curious how that kind of worked elsewhere. I know big cities obviously have all that high speed, you know, third and fourth generation cell phone coverage. But that's excellent to hear. If anyone else has any experience with that sort of thing, you know, the like we were talking about the satellite. What would really be cool is if you had sat phone, right, portable satellite broadband, right? Wouldn't that be that'd be the next step, wouldn't it?
Now, does your you got the Trio 700, right?
I have the Trio 650. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I think the 700. Suppose I was researching
a bit.
And,
that's right.
Some of the newer both cell phones and Trios and all that support this EVDO, which seems to be a version of something called CDMA 2000.
I believe that's right. Yeah.
Yes, I was doing a little research because I have an older, it's a Motorola V710 phone with Verizon, which uses CDMA, and I have something that's not quite EVDO. It's like version 1.
Right.
Called 1X or 1XRT.
Because
there's this little icon on the phone that says 1X, and I'm like, well, 1X what?
Yeah.
But yeah, and that's a kind of like EVDO, except not as
slower,
fast. EVDO is generations ahead, but they're both, you know, relatively high speed. And I've seen the cards, though. I think the problem right now is kind of like, you know, the new Express card you made. I guess there are
there's starting to be some of those.
The problem, because I'm finding things aren't coming out very quickly on Express card, just because not a lot of people. So a couple of, you know, I mean, the newer Macs, of course, and a couple of PCs starting to get that.
So
that's important when you're on the road.
Tom also sent in something cool that he found. You know, we were talking about getting iTunes libraries to sync among all your local computers in the house.
Uh-huh.
And Tom found this thing from Martian.com called the Martian Slingshot for syncing. And I haven't had time. He sent it to me while I was away. I looked it all up, but obviously being away and just having arrived home, you know, an hour or so ago, was unable to test it. But we'll test it between now and the next show or the show after and see what it's all about. But certainly from their claims on their website, it seems to do a lot of that and actually a lot more. So that may be the that may be an answer here. If anybody has any practical experience with it over a long period of time, please do call us at 206-666-GEEK.
Geek.
And you know, we've had a couple of emails about this, so I'll address it. And the emails have been about the relative volume level of this podcast versus other podcasts that you're listening to, specifically when listening on an iPod. I'm not sure what can be done about it. This podcast we usually normalize to you know, a little above 0 dB, maybe just to get it hot enough so that it's loud enough. But actually, a lot of the comments I've heard from you folks are that it's not loud enough. Now, what we also do is run it into iTunes because we have to add the picture and everything. And when iTunes pulls it in, it actually pulls it down quite a few decibels. So it may be that you're not turning on sound check on your iPod. And if you're hearing, you know, varying, significant variations in volume level from one podcast to the next, try going into your iPod settings and turning on sound check. That may be the answer there. So
that's, looking at that now.
Yeah. But if you are having that problem and you do have sound check on, let us know. And also give us an example. You obviously don't need to send our podcast back to us, but though you can. But give us examples of a couple of podcasts. You know, this one's louder, this one's too soft, this one's right in the middle. Not our shows, but you know, compare them to a specific episode that we've done, and then, you know, what other shows. I realize that we're not the only ones that are being affected by this. From all the emails that I've gotten, it's, you know, everything is sort of all over the map. But I think the iPod sound check will deal with it, because I certainly don't have this problem when listening. But
yeah, and I don't want to scream at our listeners all the time.
All the time, 100% of the time. That's right.
When we rant, sometimes.
When we rant, it should be energetic, right? Mm-hmm. All right. Do you have anything else to tell them, John? Or are we allowed to move out?
Mm-hmm. I'm okay. I think we wrapped up the whole high-speed phone thing. I think that's
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're good. Those are the cool things we found.
First thing area.
And some travel tips right along there for you. We told you it'd be short. We're doing one on Monday. And I think if John's going to be ready for it, we're going to do a show about Automator on Monday. And we may even have a special guest for that show to talk a little bit about.
I'm on vacation, man.
Well, then that's a perfect opportunity for you to learn Automator, isn't it?
Have you looked up the word vacation?
Yeah, I did, actually. When I was at the lake, I understood the definition of vacation better than I have probably in the last 7 years. So I was very proud of myself, and as my family was too. So
sometimes you just got to turn off the world.
Yeah. Like I said, we're really looking forward to that Disney cruise it's late fall, technically. Early December, we're going on a Disney cruise. And I've been told that my cell phone may or may not work, and there may be a way of getting internet access on the ship. At this point, that's not going to happen. I'm detaching from the grid. So, be ready. Wow. Yeah, I'm a little scared, but you know, it needs to happen. It's good for the soul and good for a little bit of sanity. So,
it's best to go cold turkey.
Between now and then is the Portable Media Expo in September, and you should go to that. If you have any interest in podcasts, which chances are you do. Cashfly, of course, is the hosting provider from where you downloaded this. And we are proud members of the Backbeat Media Podcast Network. I think that's it. Send your stuff in. Of course, you can send it into the phone number we've been talking about all show, 206-666-GEEK. Or email to MacGeekGab@MacObserver.com. Or you can Skype it to MacGeekGab. And we promise we'll check those between now and the next show. And I think that's it.
Or you can send it telepathically, but that's still kind of iffy.
Yeah, well, it gives me headaches is what it does. Not really into that.
Here, we'll send a message right now.
Yeah, that's right. I got blisters on my brain from that.
My brain hurts.